the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. Thank you for coming by. It's 503-733-2970. Just a moment, we'll welcome Jim Root from CNN Radio Los Angeles. Later on, we got Scott Daly from FilmPeopleRadio.com. More from Dan DeRose, formerly of Coin Television. I had to, by the way, now...
It's Coin News 6. You keep saying Coin Television.
I'm sorry.
Coin News 6.
Not that it matters.
Not that it matters at this point.
Was he a bring it at home person, or was he a... Wait, don't tell me. They were bringing it home, but they're not doing that anymore.
No, they're bringing it home now.
What were they doing before that?
It was news that's to the point.
Okay, was he to the point, or was he bringing it home?
He was to the point.
Not unlike they're firing. Leave. It's 503-733-2970. Remember when you were drawing a paycheck? Yeah. Rick, this is great. This is how you know an email is going to be good. Subject line, Scotty J, comma, I don't mean this in a bad way. I don't mean this in a bad way, but doesn't the new Tim Likes Scotty J sound like the product of a late night tryst between Tim's mom and Kermit the Frog? Just checking. Greg. All right, how about this? Rick. Oh, just pictures of stingrays here. Let's see. Crocodile Hunter Death to be broadcast. The footage of late Australian naturalist Steve Irwin being killed by a stingray could be shown on television. Blah, 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 blah. This is just more. This is that same story we had before about him saying, crikey, blah, blah, blah. Let's see. What else do we have here? Paris Hilton. Okay. Well, so I'll tell you what. Will... Scotty is, what's his name here? What's his name? Tim, the kid from yesterday, the kid who wants to engage in, wants to go to broadcast school and so forth. All right, so in just a minute, we'll do some other stuff. In just a minute, we'll bring him in. So we'll do Roop, we'll bring him in, and then we got other stuff on the way. All right, it's 503-733-2970. Rick, I have you right on the line at .08. I think a lot of it is the officer's decision, by the way. I got nailed many years ago. I passed all the embarrassing roadside tests, and it was determined that I was borderline. He said the only thing that saved me was that I admitted to being not okay to drive. He said if I'd been too drunk to drive, that I would claim to be just fine. Sort of bizarre, but I guess it makes sense. He let me go with a speeding ticket and followed me 2 blocks home. By the way, I had a minor with me who was holding a beer during the whole event. He made her dump it out, and that was it. What a great night it turned out to be. We went home and laughed nervously. See, I don't think they can do that anymore. See, I'm pretty sure that they don't have any sort of... I'm pretty sure that they don't have any sort of discretion when it comes to drunk driving at this point. I think that got taken away because they felt like there were too many cops who were abusing things. We're talking about that because of the Paris Hilton drunk driving thing. About Storm. Rick, Storm mentioned that she would probably return home in a week. Just curious, the chick you interviewed from the Dallas airport, that was Patrice, what day was that in relation to the Wednesday she got tossed from Rockstar? Thanks, Michael and Cicero. That's a really good point. Okay, because here's the thing. So we talked to Patrice Pike on a Friday. In fact, it was 2 weeks ago today. What?
Why don't we save the rocks? Because Jim's been waiting for a while.
But Jim isn't on hold.
Oh, he isn't?
Do you see him on hold?
No, I thought he was. I thought I saw someone on
hold. I don't see him. Are we calling Roop or is he calling us? Do we know? I think, yeah, I'm pretty, that's why I was sort of moving some of this.
All right,
the front.
Never
I think,
mind, talk away.
I think, I'll just continue to motor mouth. No, because we had Roop right at the top of the hour, but I knew we had a long break there. But I want to address this because somebody asked me about Storm, and I don't know how the Encore thing works, because we talked to Patrice Pike on a Friday, because we had a listener, Brian, was at the Austin, Texas airport, and he saw her at the airport. And then we talked to her, and that was 2 days after she'd gotten kicked off. And she said that she was going home and she was going on tour. But then they're doing this Encore thing, which Brooke Burke was talking about. And I'm unclear about when the Encore happens, who is qualified. Like, is it anybody? Is it any of the contestants that can be brought back for the Encore? I mean, I have no idea. Because when we were watching the Elimination Show on Wednesday, they did this whole thing about, Brooke Burke did this thing about, and yeah, you need to text to whatever, and she gave the number. And the deal was that one of the departed rockers will be brought back for an encore. And we were sort of led to believe, I think just by the way she phrased it, that it could be anybody. That it could, that it doesn't matter who was it. Anybody who was voted off in the past might be brought back to do an encore. And so that raised all kinds of questions, like, could it be, I mean, could it be somebody from the first week? Was it anybody who had been voted off? And if it was Storm, I mean, and is that going to happen on a Tuesday? Is it going to happen on a Wednesday? Like, nobody was really sure about that. And then nobody was really sure how the tally worked either. Because I know that Ryan, for example, has had, I don't know, he's had those songs that he's been selling on MSN. He's had the, because Brooke Burke mentioned that, I think, on Tuesday, that he had had, I don't know, he'd had like the top three downloads or something on MSN.com or... They had been, I don't know if they're selling him or if it's just downloads, but that he had had the most downloaded songs on MSN. And I'm just unclear about whether that was being factored into it at all. Basically, the upshot of all this is that I got to fly down to L.A. this weekend. And the worst part about this is, the whole damnable misery of this is that when we were hooking up these tickets, because even though Laura and I are flying down on our own dime, we're paying for our own flight and we're paying for a hotel and everything, I remember when we were setting this up, the Susan Reynolds, and frankly, to be honest, Davey actually said this when I was getting the taping tickets lined up. And Susan is like, so what weekend do you want to go down? It wasn't like they assigned us the 9th and the 10th. We picked this. And I remember Susan saying, well, are you sure you want to go down for the very final weekend? Maybe you ought to go early on so you're guaranteed to see her. And us, no, what? Why would we possibly want to go down earlier? She'll be there to the very end. I guarantee it. And so we could have gone down last weekend, which blows. It just blows huge chunks.
Okay, well, Davey just wrote me, and he says that Storm could be going home tonight, but she's not because everyone's coming back for the finale. So she's not staying because she's getting the encore. She could leave tonight, but since everyone's coming back for the finale anyway, she's staying.
So everybody who's already gotten kicked off is coming back for the final night? Is that it? That's all very confusing.
That's going to be cool.
Rick, you're on the Rick... Is this Rick?
Yes.
Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Yeah, hi, Rick. Yeah, the Portland Tribune today says that Storm is going to be on the Rockstar Supernova finale Wednesday night, as well as the rap party that follows.
Well, that's... And I know... I figured that there was some sort of a rap party, and I figured that... I mean, if you're on a TV show, you figure you probably got to, you figure that there's all kinds of minutia and paperwork and, you know, all kinds of crap that you got to deal with. So, well, I wonder if that, see, it's all very perplexing.
It also says, by the way, she's going to be on the Ellen DeGeneres Show and on E! Entertainment's Talk Soup.
Somebody said that, I think it was Todd the Corpse said that Zaira, he was tracking what Zaira did when she got kicked off, and I know she was on The Soup. Or whatever, and then she was on Ellen, and you said that Rosie O'Donnell was talking about
Storm. Rosie O'Donnell was talking about her, not this morning, yesterday, and I guess she was asking the other, you know, uneducated about this kind of thing, co-hosts, whether or not they've been watching it, and the little blonde bitch, you know, she was like, oh, you mean that girl with the tattoo? What? Yeah, really nice looking.
Yeah,
just only making bitchy comments about her.
Yes, because people on The View are, that's one big style council over there.
Gotta love Rosie O'Donnell, though, for Love and Storm.
Right, you know, Rosie O'Donnell, I prefer, like, the blunt, bitchy, obnoxious Rosie O'Donnell, at least, to the hideous candy coating over the rancid interior Rosie O'Donnell that we had for many years when she was doing, like, the daytime TV thing. Because you just know that she's a horrible person. That's the thing. You know that Rosie O'Donnell is terrible and mean and bitchy and just and obnoxious. And so if she's going to do that, man, I would just rather have her do that as opposed to just sort of be, like, candy coating it and so forth. Because, you know, that's, you know. All right. So they're all going to be there. Now, of course, see, that's perfect. It means not only do I get to go down, as I've said hundreds of times now, to cheer for Delana, but I actually get to see the taping of the one show out of the entire series that apparently Storm will not be there for. Fantastic. Thank you, God. That's just like an extra little kick in the junk there, right, from the Almighty, from the Heavenly Father.
Should have been better.
It doesn't mean she won't be back for the encore, though.
What?
Maybe she'll still be back for an encore, though.
But the encore is going to be on Wednesday anyway, right?
Because I think the encore is on the Sunday show.
Stressful! All right. Well.
Well, and you'll be able to give us the spoilers this week.
That's right. That's the only benefit to this now at this point.
So we'll keep our fingers crossed she's there when you're there.
All right, yeah. Thank you, sir.
You bet.
That's right. Well, because Wednesday night is a 2-hour show.
And by the way, Rick, I'm think she has her phone back now. I mean, you can get a hold of her.
Yeah, I suppose. But I don't want to be one more guy calling, "Hey, Storm, hello?" You know, I think that Storm probably at this point, I think Storm's inclination is probably to go find a dark room with no windows and a big pad bolt. You know, big padlock, deadbolt on the door, and just stay inside and speak to no one for some time. That would be my suspicion.
Except for Davey. Spend some quality time with Davey.
Well, that's totally what I'm saying.
Maybe they'll have a conjugal visit.
A brief conjugal visit. I think those guys probably, they just want to go lock themselves in a steamer trunk somewhere and just, and not speak to anybody for a while. And again, and you can totally see how that fame and just being in that spotlight just wears on people. Because, I mean, just, you know, even at Dante's, you know, when we would be at Dante's, and it's like, and Davey would sort of sit in the middle, and he was sort of flanked by a circle of kind of people, you know, sort of friends around him. Because it's like every guy from every newspaper, every guy from every media outlet was just like all over him. It just, how do you feel? And just share your thoughts with us. Like shoving a microphone into his face and being obnoxious. Rick Emerson Show. Hello, who is this?
Hey, John.
Hey, John, what's up, man?
Like, I think last week you said you were going to get a T-shirt that said, "I am not a terrorist."
Yes, that was sort of my plan, actually, but these things never hold up in the harsh light of day. I had this idea that if Storm was not going to be on, see, it all came down to what I had personally invested in the trip, because
right.
I'm torn between two influences. Like, on the one hand, I always want to cause a lot of trouble with the airport security just because they bug me, and that's what we're going to, we get a hold of Jim Roop here in a while. We're going to talk to him about that, because he's, one of the stories they have him covering is this airport security at LAX, but like, part of me always wants to make trouble, but the reason you don't, and this is why they can just push you around and be such a-holes when you're, like, at the Portland airport or whatever, is because they know that you have a vested interest in getting to wherever you're going. They know
right.
that you need to get someplace, which is why you're not going to make a whole bunch of trouble. So
and
I had this idea.
A bunch of money for it.
Yeah, and I had this idea that if I lost my vested interest in the trip, in other words, if Storm was no longer going to be performing, that I would just, like, for example, think about this. Like, imagine this. I floated the idea of wearing the T-shirt that says, like, "I am not a terrorist." Because what appeals to me is the idea of something that they couldn't really find any legal grounds to oppose, but that would just irritate them regardless. I was also thinking about this. What if you just wanted to get on a plane dressed as a clown? Like, not maybe with makeup. Like, nothing that actually obscures your face. But what if I just got on the plane, literally, like, big floppy shoes? Like what if you were in line at the airport, and it's like there's you, and there's, like, you know, all the regular family people getting on there, and there's all the normal people you fly with, and then in line at the security check at the airport is just a guy, is just a clown.
Big nose, 3 days of bad beard.
That's what I'm saying. No makeup is such. Like, in other words, nothing that actually violates a law about concealing your appearances, but just a big rainbow wig and, like, big gloves and floppy shoes. I mean, you know, no metal, you know, you let them wand you down. And just don't speak. Just sort of give them the big, vacant-eyed, like, wide smile.
Well,
and then
if you do wear the T-shirt, make sure you have one underneath it that says "Detainee of a Secret CIA Prison."
Seriously. How was your shirt?
That
says,
make you take the first one off.
A shirt that says, "I am not resisting arrest." So how about this? Or how about just, like, going there with, like, a huge bag full of dildos? Really? You know what I mean? Just a gigantic, just a huge bag full of vibrators. And just, do you have any metal objects? Yes, I do. Hold on a second. What if you had a duffel bag that just had, like, 75 vibrators into it? Because there's that thing where you have to take off your watch and your bracelet and your wedding rings, and you just have to, you know, you put it in the tray and it goes through. And what if, do you have any metal items, sir? Why, yes, I do. Hold on a second. And then you unzip the bag, and literally just one at a time, just 75 vibrators in a row that you have to scan through.
Stand them up on the thing as they go through.
I'm just saying, these are the things that go through my head.
Yeah.
All right, well, thank you, sir.
It's probably just as well.
Well, that's what I do. All right, there you go. Thank you. I'll tell you what, take a break. We'll come back. We'll figure out the deal with Jim Roop. We're going to talk to Tim, our young friend who wants to be in broadcasting. We got more with Dan DeRose, formerly of Coin News 6. Later on, Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com, and more Scotty J in for Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. Don't go anywhere. Here's the sounds. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, it's Jim Roop. radio correspondent to the stars and also to us.
Hey, sorry I'm late, man.
Dude, it's a way. I think we have some cross signals there.
That's all right.
It's okay. It's just it's a day of chaos and discord here at the Rick Emerson
As
Show.
As is every Friday, right?
And it's, dude, you know, I the best laid plans of mice and men and Henry Bemis and Rick Emerson, it all just goes straight to hell here. It's and not only we have you know we're doing this show for an extra hour now. The show used to be noon to three, now it's 11 to three. And then our normal news guy is gone, and we got like 15...
I wouldn't call Tim Riley normal.
our regularly scheduled news guy, that is true, he's gone, we got like 15 different guests, and then I'm trying... And see, here's the thing, and I'm trying to get all my crap done early, because I'm actually coming down to your area this weekend. I'm going to be in L.A.
Woohoo!
So it's all very exciting and chaotic, my friend. Let me ask you, and here's the thing, I saw... You got a couple of things you're talking about here, but I noticed that... is this another day where they had you, like, sitting at LAX talking to people?
Well, they have a remote check-in site now at Van Nuys Airport.
Let me ask you this. Here's basically the bottom line. Is this anything that's going to make my life any easier at all flying into or out of Los Angeles?
No.
Okay, thank you. So, in other words, my life remains as hellish as always.
Everybody's life. This is not helping anybody.
Well, dude, I hate to be sound like I'm just treading the same ground as everybody else with a microphone these days, but... you really do need, like, a slide rule to figure out what you can and cannot do in an airport. I was talking during the last segment, I was saying that it really is tempting. It makes me so furious, all of these endless delays and security checkpoints. It really is tempting to do something not technically illegal, but just sort of a little weird. Again, I mentioned just sort of waiting in line dressed as a clown, you know? Because what would they do? As long as your face was not obscured by makeup, maybe just a red nose. Let me ask you this. You're a man who spends some time in LAX. If I tried to go through that security lineup with, like, big floppy shoes and gloves and a rainbow wig and the big polka dot, muumuu, really, what would they do?
I'll tell you, the airport's like college. No matter how weird you're dressed, there's always somebody dressed weirder than you are.
So I guess at LAX it probably wouldn't be an issue.
It's been pretty strange costumes going on there because, it's a huge international hub, you know?
Right.
So there's a lot of strange get-ups that are going on out there. I've seen clown outfits, no floppy shoes yet, but I've seen pretty clowny outfits out there.
It really is tempting, if only to see the looks of the faces, the looks on the faces of the people around me.
Strolling through the airport, or just like waiting in line reading a magazine.
That's the thing. That's totally the thing about it, though. If you want to make the clown costume really work, you got to play it totally straight. You got to be a very low-key clown.
Or some kind of Elvis costume or something.
My other thought was just a huge, huge suitcase full of vibrators. You know, and again, don't hide them. Don't pretend they're anything else. And
put them in a big plastic bag so the security guys can see them.
But I wouldn't even really want to do that. I'd want to do the thing where, like, they make you take off your wedding ring and your watch and you put it in that bucket that goes through the scanner.
Yeah.
I would just want to put, like, 100 vibrators through one by one. You're saying, no, there's one more. Hold on. And just everyone larger and more massive and bigger in girth than the one preceding it. Because, you know, it's just my little way of being civilly disobedient. You know what I mean?
There's nothing wrong with that.
Just
that
a little.
Makes America great.
I'm just saying I probably don't have time to go buy 100 vibrators, but if somebody out there is planning a business trip, this is maybe just a little way to... Just a little way to let the government know how much you appreciate their service.
I'm totally hip to that, man.
Here's a dumb question, actually, because I am flying. Is it? Because my wife actually asked me this morning, and I really didn't know. So, in terms of, like, makeup, hair gel, all that, do we have to check all of that stuff?
You're allowed a certain percentage, certain ounces, 4 ounces of this, 2 ounces of that. Your best bet... Check it all. Don't even try. If you want to avoid hassle, just walk on with your book.
That's the spirit. Just give up.
What airport are you flying into, if you don't mind me getting that in a preposition?
No, it's and well spotted.
Thank you.
I'm glad you noticed that sort of thing. We're flying from PDX to LAX.
You should fly into Burbank. What part of L.A. are you...
I'm not even sure that my wife has found the hotel yet, but I think we are flying into LAX. I'm not even sure what hotel we're at the moment, though. It's sort of a coming together at the last moment kind of a thing. But Sarah is actually mouthing the word to me. I will never check anything. I think we're seeing...
No, you have your stuff lost once. I would rather just deal with the hassle than...
Or here's what I do. I'll say what I do, but then again, CNN pays for it. I don't take any toiletries.
Right. Oh, you just buy everything when you get there?
I just take clothes, and my broadcast gear, because that's a hassle enough.
Sure.
And then I just buy, you know, hairspray or whatever you need.
Well, I'm a guy. I don't really have
that
much to take anyway.
What do you call that? Hair shampoo.
But it's
I buy shampoo and my lip gloss when I get to my.
Well, you know, Jim, we had Sarah go through her purse when this whole thing happened about a month ago with the plane and in England and all that. And we had her dump her makeup out on the counter. Now, admittedly, Sarah is a very makeup. She's a makeup loving girl, and so maybe carries a little bit more than the average woman. But she only got like a third of the way through the bag, and she was already at like $100 worth.
Yeah.
And she's like, I can't afford to just buy all this crap every time I fly somewhere.
Well, you know, your best bet in any airport is seriously, don't take that kind of stuff with you.
Yeah.
And you go to your local Safeway or Vons, right, whatever it is you have, and you buy those little trial size things.
I know it makes me sound like I'm a troublemaker, and I'm really not. It just, the whole thing just pisses me off, because I try never to check anything. Because like many, and I think it's a male thing largely, like many men, I like to travel light, and I like to be able to get on, get off.
Don't worry. Always.
And that phrase sums up so much in the male life.
It's perfect.
Get on, get off, and I'm done.
That's a T-shirt waiting to happen.
Exactly. And that's kind of what it is with flying, man. And so here's, and again, I hate to be using the resources of CNN anchors just to answer my own personal question, but here's some other things that have changed since the last time I flew. I got the iPod. B, it's this motor, it's a Q, it's like a BlackBerry. I got that, and then I've got a GPS, because we're going to be driving all over L.A., and it's like, I don't want to, you take a wrong turn, and you end up in some guy's freezer. So, I mean, we got like a GPS, and I have, that GPS is like a $700 piece of equipment.
You carry that on, and before you go through the checkpoint, you turn it on for the guy, and say, here's what it is.
Right.
And let him see it. That's what I have to do with all my broadcast gear, because I don't want to check that. Man, that's a lot of money, and I ain't replacing it.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not going to let some minimum wage with a gun be tossing my GPS into the belly of the plane somehow.
So what I do is I put it all in my, I got a backpack, and I say, here's what's in here. Let me turn it on for you. How's that? Look at that. Nothing's exploding. Isn't that beautiful? Here it all is.
that's the spirit.
And then I pack it all back up, and I go through, and they're very happy. If you volunteer that, they're very happy.
All right.
Don't make them ask you what it is, because that just pisses them off.
See, and speaking of volunteering things, an idea that I had very briefly last week, which I then abandoned, was just to wear a shirt that said in huge letters, I am not a terrorist. And see, everybody laughs. And you know what? The funny thing about that shirt is, and then I'll get off the subject, but the funny thing about the I am not a terrorist shirt is that you know that they would never, ever, ever let you through wearing that shirt, but for reasons that they could never explain or point to any rule about. I mean, really, if you think about it, there's really absolutely no justification for saying you can't wear it. Because all you're doing is saying, well, look, just to make your job easier, I thought I'd let you know, me, Rick Emerson, not a terrorist.
I'm a friendly flyer.
Seriously, just pass that idea along. Anybody you know that wants to raise a little ruckus, you can give them that idea.
The next time I talk to the TSA guy at LAX, I'm going to say, what if that happened? What
ask
if somebody wore that T-shirt?
Would you really? Because
I promise I will.
I am a big fan of just anybody who sort of, as they say, jams the culture a little bit.
You know, you wave that guy right through. Oh, you're not? Okay, come
on. Seriously, I mean, really. I mean, I'm just trying to make their jobs easier.
You know, sure everything's, make sure. I was just going to get real in trouble here, but just I think that T-shirt would be a good idea.
Oh, well, I do have an afternoon before I have to fly. Maybe I'll just stop by the T-shirt hut at the mall. If I thought that CBS would not cast a very dim look my way, it really would be worth it almost just for the publicity. You know what I mean? I mean, really, this man arrested for saying he was not a terrorist. I mean, it just doesn't make any goddamn sense, but you know that's exactly what would happen because they're idiots.
True.
All right. Real quickly, Ellen DeGeneres.
Yes, she's going to be hosting the Oscars. I think it's a mistake.
I think Ellen... See, here's the thing. Why do you think it's a mistake?
Because
I think
she's a TV person, and it's not that she wouldn't do a good job.
I think she's funny.
I think she's great. I think it has nothing to do with whether she should do a good job, because when she hosted the Emmys, it was a great show.
Yeah.
I just loathe the Motion Picture Academy, because if you're not a movie person,
right,
they pee on you. And trust me, she won't get good reviews. She'll get some snickers and some laughs and some, obligatory applause. But she won't be celebrated like she would if she did the Emmy.
I suppose that's true. I guess it's about picking your target.
The Motion Picture Academy, they're snobs, man.
No, it's true. And as you can tell with the motion pictures that they actually choose for awards, too, that they're really out of touch. But I can't think. The problem is the Academy Awards are really screwed if they are and screwed if they don't, or whatever that phrase is. Because if they pick somebody staid and stodgy and stupid, like, you know, they just go with Robin Williams for the 9 millionth time or Billy Crystal or whatever, then it's crap and I don't care about it. But if they pick somebody who's actually funny and hip and whatever, like Jon Stewart, Chris Rock, Ellen DeGeneres, then you're right, it's a bad fit, and then it's just like a round peg in a square hole. So,
but Jon Stewart would be great. Chris Rock would be great.
Would be great.
But DeGeneres, I think, is going to do a great job.
I think it's like a two great tastes that don't go together at all in any way.
It's just a shame that the Academy will go into it thinking she's a TV person.
Yeah.
What's she doing here?
No, it's true. You're absolutely right about that. Although that line between TV and movies is sort of, I mean, movies have gotten really bad and television's gotten really good in some
ways. Yeah, and a lot of movie actors are now working TV shows.
It is true.
You know, so maybe this is the year to bridge that gap.
That's what I'm saying. See, you'll be there to cover it.
I will be there in all of the with my acoustic guitar doing some folk songs and kumbaya and the whole damn thing together.
Fantastic. All right. Well, if you hear someone being beaten and screaming like a little girl this weekend at LAX while being escorted out by security, that's probably me.
Well, you should really try to cover that.
Yeah, just
that
you might want
to
have like a pithy headline ready. You know, like when you see me being taken out of the "I am not a terrorist" shirt. So, just so you know, I'm going to give you the heads up on that so you can impress Laura with your news gathering skills. And there you go. Hey, sorry again about the mix-up at the top of the hour, brother.
No, it's no big deal.
All right, have a good...
I can talk with you.
Have a good California weekend, sir. We will talk to you very soon.
And you too.
Thank you, brother.
Bye-bye.
All right, there you go. Jim Roop, ladies and gentlemen. I love that guy. How great
is he?
I'm just saying.
Nobody has ever questioned your love for Jim Roop.
Rick, this email says, Scotty J has a unique combination. Face for radio, voice for mime. Best show ever. Should laugh. Rick and Sarah, it's me, Marsha, Dan's number one fan.
Marsha's awesome.
And the chick who got laid off while we were in Maui. Sarah, keep Dan in line there and make sure he doesn't drink too many beers. Too late. Make sure there's no tequila in the studio. Also, for the record, Dan was not the mole at Coin. There were several moles at Coin. Many of them still working there.
Huh.
Get Dan and Scotty to switch places. It'll be fun to hear Dan doing the news again.
Well, that's a good idea.
Why, wait a minute. Let's,
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Dan DeRoe.
Good afternoon. A Pennsylvania man was just trying to enjoy and relax his 54th birthday in his yard when he went to move the sprinkler. He simply backed up to avoid the spray and wound up in the hospital. The man had fallen into a horseshoe pit with a one-inch-thick, rusty steel stake in it. The stake pierced his buttocks, fractured his pelvis, and came within a millimeter of a major artery which carries all the blood to his lower extremities. The man is alive and recovering in a hospital.
But the key phrases of the story are pierced his buttocks.
No, I think it's one-inch-thick, rusty spike. That's key.
I think blood flow to the lower appendages is the best.
Oh, God.
From the Kiss My Butt file, a Polish man has a new tongue, and it's made out of his buttocks. The man underwent surgery and is delighted with his new fully functioning tongue.
How did he lose his existing? Does it say?
Right here, the man's original.
Like?
The
butt
man's
tongue.
There it is.
Don't give me the butt tongue!
Nice crack
like
right down the middle of his tongue.
Textures.
The man's original tongue was removed after it was found to be cancerous.
But and they made a new tongue
doing well.
Out of his buttocks.
So it's like another flap of skin inside of his mouth.
Here's how I can tell, by the way.
A bad taste in your mouth?
Oh. Oh, wait, so, no, I'm sorry. That absolutely, that really
requires... Did I just lose my free job?
That's it. By the way, here's how I can tell that you came from television news. Because you're not really stopping to savor stories like pelvis fracturing and buttock tongue. You're just moving, you're plowing right through.
Hey, I didn't want you to jump on me like you did, Scotty. I don't want to give you any time.
No. You're a guest. We have to be polite to you. I'm sorry. Okay, buttock tongue. There you go. That's
buttock
it.
Tongue.
But... I can see a picture of this buttock tongue. Aren't you curious? Because, you know, tongues aren't skin colored.
And Sarah, the best part is that you just stuck your tongue out so that I would know
to look at her.
But
own
imagine
tongue.
This big flap of, like, another, like, color, you know.
Maybe they made it from that extra flap on Paris's butt. That extra section of buttock. Because have you seen that? Sarah, Paris Hilton has got like a third buttock. It's like how, you know, they like the Hindus speak about having a third eye, you know. She has a third buttock. And it's just sort of a... imagine, if you will, I don't know, like a mud flap on a truck. But what if there was a mud flap that was attached to your backside and it was just made out of your own skin?
With or without the shiny naked woman.
She, that's later, that's the, after they have a modified, she, it's just, it's all very unpleasant. Let's, hello, Michael, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Eric, I have a question.
Is this about the man who had the tongue made out of his buttocks?
Yeah.
Okay, should I prepare the, should I prepare one of the sounders for this?
Sure, why not?
Okay.
I was wondering if all the food can taste like ass now.
Thank you, sir. See, that was worse than mine. At least mine was off the
Thank
top.
You.
He had time to think about it.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. You'll be here all week. Or not. Bye. Thank you. Here's Dan DeRose in for Scotty J, who's in for Tim Riley.
And last but not least, from our Grave Watch.
Oh, wait. Do we have to roll the... Ladies and gentlemen, it's your Grave Watch from Monday on the Rick Emerson Show.
I'm digging up phones. I'm digging up phones. Zooming things that's better left alone.
Up on the theme.
I'm resurrecting memories of a love that's dead and gone. Yet I'm not, I'm sitting alone, digging up
phones. It's great also that you've got the really professional tone and timbre as you're reading about the buttock tongue.
On their way to dig up a rural southwestern Wisconsin grave, a couple of backwoods brothers and their friends stopped at Walmart. What were they purchasing, you might ask? Some condoms, authorities say. 3 days later, on Tuesday, the twin brothers were charged in Grant County with attempted theft and attempting to have sex with a corpse.
This is, by the way, we are reading this now as part of our news segment in the public interest, convenience, and necessity here on the Rick Emerson Show.
After being questioned, one of the men told officers that he and his brother and their friend were trying to dig up the grave, but stopped just short when they hit the grave's concrete vault of the 20-year-old woman who had recently been killed in a motorcycle accident.
Now, does it say, can I see the story there for a second?
There you are.
All right. Look, the picking up of, look, I don't wish to speculate.
Yeah, look,
actually, that's a lie. I really do. Oh.
Well, they told authorities that
no,
they...
No, but I'm saying, but really, why?
What's the worry?
Why always the condoms? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I, really, it seems like, I mean, unless you're exceptionally potent, there's not really much risk of an impregnation at that point.
STDs from a corpse? That
seriously.
That would be the worst story to tell. How'd you get yours?
Really? That has got to be the... That's got to be the... That's got to be one of the all-time bummers. Yeah. That's worse than a toilet seat. The two drove into the cemetery, and the diggers had only managed to reach the top of the... oh, God, listen to this, too. Listen to this. Listen to this guy's name. The complaint said that Radke told police that Nicholas Grunke... died on a... Nah, never mind. There's some joke there with, like, a Solomon Grundy thing. Nicholas Grunke had asked him, Radke, to help him dig up the Cassville woman's body and... Not even there, to take it to Grunke's house so that he could then engage
oh
in sweet...
God.
Imagine trying to get that funk out of your sofa. Man, I've spilled, like, picante sauce on my sofa and it didn't want to come out. So that Grunke could then engage in sweet, sweet relations with the corpse. On the way to the cemetery... They stopped by a Dodgeville Walmart, the choice for all your contraceptive needs, to buy condoms, quote, because Nick felt it was important to use them during the sex. Grovier said the three did not know the woman.
Oh, no, 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 no. It's not going to be a... They saw her.
Yes.
She was pretty.
They... But had seen her picture in a newspaper obituary.
Oh.
And found her, quote, desirable. I want to know, that's got to be one hot woman. Really, I mean, I've seen a lot of attractive women in my life. No, 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 I'm saying, I mean...
It might not take much
if
for
you
a guy
have
named Grunky.
If you... The bar is set necessary. His circle of social contacts is necessarily finite. Groby said the woman was well liked and very popular. Apparently so. The community is very upset. Really, I hate to sound morbid about this, but if you've got a photograph of what is her name?
That's the top thing.
That's let's see. I'm looking for her name. Do we have the?
It may not say it. At the top.
No, it may not say. It may just say the 20-year-old.
Well, that's unfortunate. They doesn't have her name. Well, that's too bad. Because really, I want to know. I mean, there's women that you won't bother to get up to go across a bar for. You know what I mean? There's women that it's like you're sitting at home and it's like it's just you're too lazy to even pick up the phone and dial the number. I wonder how hot you have to be before two guys and a shovel and a pack of condoms will come get you in a cemetery.
There you go. Pulling dates from the grave. That's all right. Pretty impressive.
There you go.
That's the news.
Good Lord.
Assuming things that's better left alone.
Glad you came in today, Dan.
My day is complete. I have informed the world about having sex with corpses.
Where was that?
Wisconsin.
Yeah, I'm, was it really?
Yes, it is.
Wisconsin, home of Ed Gein, ladies and gentlemen. Rick, you may have already mentioned this, and I just missed it, but what happened to Katie Baker?
Uh-huh.
I checked out the show on Tuesday for the first time since Sarah left, and I was surprised to see Katie gone. Dan?
Katie Baker has moved on to Big Sky Country, I think it is.
Is that Montana?
No, I don't think it's Montana. I think it's Wyoming. Jackson Hole.
That's
Jackson Hole, Wyoming. Not to pursue a career, but to leave the business entirely, as many people have, post-coin. But, she's out. She's done. She's moved with her husband. I believe he is from Jackson Hole.
This email, and this is from a guy who works at another television station, so I will not identify him. It says, Coin now uses an automated system that replaces audio operators and editors and many others. It is called Ignite. He says that is.
Don't believe it. It doesn't replace editors.
No, I don't know, but we've heard for a while that there were no more live humans sort of operating those cameras at that place.
Well, there's got to be one guy that sort of pushes the buttons. And
there's got to be somebody left to do firing. I mean, that's it. They're really machine can't fire you quite. That'll be the next thing they operate. By the way, you'll just get sort of a printout at the end of the day. We wish you well in your future endeavors. Your family wishes to spend more time with you. End of line. You know, and that's it. And that's it. And then you'll just go home and get the gun. You were in radio, right?
Just very, very, very early on.
How old were you when
just
you...
6 months.
How old were you when you were started radio?
I was senior in college, so I was probably 22.
All right. Well, let's see. It's probably a good idea that you are here. Scotty J, you are around, and I know you are.
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say, except...
You're not going to amount to jack squat!
Scotty, please summon him to the studio.
Beam us up, Scotty.
End of message.
Scotty J, can you... do we have Tim?
Yes.
The would-be radio student in here? Thank you. All right, let's now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show. This is our good friend Tim, who was here yesterday, and I felt bad. You kind of got shortchanged yesterday because yesterday the storm thing and everything sort of went along, and so we didn't really get a chance to talk kind of the way we wanted to. Yesterday, a Leonard Skinner shirt. Today, an AC/DC shirt. Fantastic.
He knows
shirt.
How to pander to you.
That's what I'm saying. All right, so... I didn't want you to feel like we only gave you like a couple minutes to give you the bad side of everything yesterday. But the reason you, and I think I found, I wonder if I actually have it here. I have, I think, one of your original letters that you had actually sent in to me.
Wherein you were sort of,
here we go. So it's on the floor.
Oh.
Where I keep all my really important correspondence. And the subject line is, I need a job.
Yeah.
Rick, my name is Tim, and I would like to take a chance to take a tour through the. I would like a chance to take a tour through the studio where you broadcast from. I am thinking about going to school at Mount Hood Community College to be in radio. Please help me out. You can email me back here on my dad's computer. I don't have my own email address yet. Get used to this. Get used to not having anything that belongs to you or that you own. Thanks, Tim. And this, I feel bad. This is from like a month and a half ago. So thank
you. Well, he's here now, isn't he?
Well, Scotty finally responded to you because I think you went right to him. So yesterday we gave you our thoughts and our opinions on this, and sort of the reason we were doing this, and this is for Dan's benefit, is because you had, I think, after the urging of Scotty J, had contacted Mount Hood Community College, and you told us, and I had all kinds of people fill up my email with this, because I did not believe that you were telling us the truth about this, that it was $22,000. See, look at Dan's expression right there. That's exactly the expression.
You go to community college?
That's, well, let me move this moment. That's exactly what we're talking about. That is the expression that was on my face and Sarah's face and Tim's face when Scotty told us, yes, it was $22,000 to go to not just a community college, but I mean, to be on the radio. And it was astounding to me. And so you, Dan, but it wasn't a broadcasting school that you went to, was it?
Well, I went to the University of Iowa, and we had a journalism department within there. I learned all my broadcasting stuff. The college had its own radio station, so got my feet wet. But never in my life would I pay $22,000 to go to community college.
That's especially for this career. So, I mean, so having been a guy, you worked in radio for a while, and what, you just quickly deduced that it was not for you?
I had always been a broadcast guy, but wanted to do TV, and it was a place for me to get my feet wet. Started working early mornings on Saturday mornings, doing the news Saturday, Sunday mornings, and just went from there to try and get into TV. But so I used it as a platform.
And so your thoughts, your observations, just based on like the 6 months that you did radio.
Oh,
oh.
Man, I know that everybody says in their industry you've got to pay your dues. Everybody says that. It's really cliche, but radio has got to be among the worst. We are talking I had three people listen to me when I was doing the morning news at like 4 in the morning. I had to be into the studio at 3. This was my senior year of college. So I missed out on some hella partying on Friday, Saturday nights so that I could get in there and, don't do it, man.
You know? See, there you go. See, and and everybody says that when you ask them about getting to radio, everybody's immediate response is, don't do it. And it's almost a cliche, and as I said yesterday, the reason that I say that is not because there's certain people who shouldn't be in radio, but just because the only people who will be discouraged by that are the people who really shouldn't be in it anyway. Mm-hmm. If you really want to do it, that's not going to stop you from doing it. But that's the thing. I thought you just got to be prepared to move. You got to be prepared to work in cities that you've never even heard of. I mean, cities that don't... And let me just tell you this. There, if you pursue radio... First of all, if I could just speak really frankly, because we were talking about Coin and how Coin Television is, Coin News 6, bringing it home, how they are increasingly automated. It's the same with radio stations. You've heard us talk about this a lot. I can't even imagine, and I'm not saying they don't exist, I'm saying I simply don't know what job you would get as an entry-level person in radio now. I mean, I don't even know what there is. Because it used to be that you would get it, you go into radio and you get a job like doing weekend overnights. But I mean, there are no weekend overnight jobs left. I mean, that job is being done by, you know, by one of these, by a computer. That's it, man. So here's the thing. I would tell you, if you really want to get into radio, learn to love getting up at 5 o'clock on a Sunday and going to, like, a tire store and setting up a huge inflatable cartoon animal that is the station mascot somewhere like in, Decatur, maybe. Or maybe Decatur's actually aiming a little too high. What's the worst town in Iowa?
Waterloo.
There you go.
Run through a list of Dubuque.
Dubuque, your new home, Tim.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, and it's gonna be endless hours of duct taping things and winding up electrical cord onto a spool, putting it in the back of a van that smells like the inside of the inside of the tongue buttock guy.
Well, that's okay because I have a van.
Well,
I'm covered on the van.
Learn to live in it. Learn to live in it, probably with two or three other people. I mean, that really is it, man. So, and television's got to be the same way. I mean,
it's... A horror story. I've got a bunch of guys I graduated, you know, school of journalism with. They started out, their first job out of college was in Grand Forks, North Dakota. I can't even believe these guys have TVs, let alone a TV station that needs news. I'm serious. They were making $12,000 to $13,000 a year out of college. They paid more than that to be in college.
Well, and I can't even imagine... I mean, $22,000, that is on top of your living expenses. I mean, I don't know how much it costs to live in America. What's the poverty level? Surely above whatever we make here.
The poverty line's got to be about $18,000,
$20,000. I'll say poverty level is 40, right?
Yeah, thank you, Scotty. This is, by the way, here's another perfect example of this, by the way. Just so nobody can... And this is the reason I wanted to have you come back for a few, Tim, because you had emailed us so often about wanting to be in radio. I don't want anybody to ever say that you did not get the clear-eyed picture from us or that we did not give you the full... revelation about it, that we hid the warts from you. We're talking to Scotty because Scotty's internship is out at the end of this month. And we had had this discussion about, well, you know, you should be thinking about where you want to go. Where does Scotty J see himself? And, you know, what does Scotty J see himself making in this industry? And I think Scotty made some statement to the effect of, well, I'd be happy with around 40 to 45 a year. Oh, and we all, man. It was like the room, the laughter in the room was, I mean, it's. I don't think anybody got any work done for the next 10 minutes because it was like you'd all heard an exceptionally funny joke. So that's it, man.
Let's put it this way. There are five people in this studio right now, only two of which are being paid to be in this room right now. Just consider that.
Not very much, either.
I mean, he had a real job. He worked on television news. He's here for free today. So that's it. Scotty J paid that $22,000 to go to Mount Holyoke Community College. How long have you been working here? 5 months? How many of those months have you gotten paid for? Oh, yeah, that'd be...
Whipping zero.
Yeah, so he forked over 20 grand and has worked here for free for 5 months just in the hope of someday making almost minimum wage. So there you go. So, brother, I mean, having been told all of that, I mean, if you decide it's for you, my recommendation, though, and again, I don't want to sound like we're dogging on the Mount Hood people because I'm sure they're good folks. There are schools out there that are big scam operations. I'm not saying that Mount Hood is one of them because Scotty speaks highly of them. Kristen Bowie, who works for the morning, she spoke well of them. I'm sure they're good people. I cannot in good conscience tell you that it is worth it to be paying $20,000. Which, and again, assuming it takes like 18 grand a year to live, I mean, that means, I mean, that's like, if you split that over 2 years, that's like 40 grand a year just to stay above, I mean, just to live and get a year of schooling paid off. And I mean, that will not be happening with a radio job. The radio job will be one of four jobs you have, and the other three will be embarrassing. And infinitely more embarrassing because you will be occasionally recognized by people who think you have a glamorous life. So, knowing all that, if you want to do it, my friend, have at it. My advice to you would be take any job, anywhere in the country, doing anything in any type of format. So you said you want to be a top guy?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, lose that idea right now.
Okay.
Not that you won't be able to do it someday, but kind of accept that you will not be doing talk radio anytime in the soon. Accept that you will be working at like a country gold station somewhere in again, sort of like a River City kind of a place. On a satellite oldies show somewhere, playing music that you hate for people who don't like you, for money that won't pay anything, working for a guy with a serious drug habit who will probably fire you for no readily apparent reason. And then you'll spend a lot of time looking at online ads and reading the back pages of R&R, becoming infinitely more depressed by the fact that for every job opening, there are thousands and thousands of people just like you, all of whom would gladly stab you in the back or push you in front of a speeding car for the chance to get that same overnight job that will never pay off your debt.
I'm ready, Rick.
Okay. All right, there you go, man. There you go. I can't say anything more about it. All right, Tim?
We could take you out back and hit you with a shovel to try and knock some sense into you.
Yeah, seriously. All right. Well, there you go, sir. All right. Back after this, it is the Rick Emerson Show live, AM 970 Solid State Radio. Scott Daly on the way, and more from Scotty J. Don't go anywhere. I want to get alone in the astral race. I won't die human inside the face. This is the great that they're trying to take my place. I'm going to get alone in the astral race. I won't die human inside the face. This is the great that they're trying to take my place.